Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. Well, on today's show, I had the chance to interview Howard Curry Teer. Now, Howard is 89 years old and he's a native of Jessamine County. We'll talk a lot about his life, but Howard is probably known as the foremost authority about all the cemeteries here in Jessamine County. We'll talk to Howard in his living room right after this word from Sutherland Chevrolet.
Neighbor, there's nothing that makes me madder than buying something today and finding a lower price tomorrow. That's why I only buy tires at Sutherland Chevrolet in Nicholasville. They have the price match guarantee. If you purchase any brand name tires from Sutherland and you see that brand available somewhere else for a cheaper price in the next 30 days, they'll refund you the difference. That's just one of the honest and ethical business practices you'll find at Sutherland Chevrolet at 1060 North Main Street in Nicholasville. A different kind of automobile dealership.
I am in the home of a good friend of ours in this community who's been here for several years and hope for several more. And his name is Howard Curry Teeter. And we wanted to talk to him today about his life and some of the things he's been involved with here in our county, some of the activities that he's been involved with. Howard, thanks for letting me talk to you.
All right. Thank you for coming.
First off, so that people in our audience can identify. Now, we have a lot of listeners who are from here, but we have a lot of listeners who aren't, and so I kind of like to start these by giving some background about you. Now, your name's Howard Curry Teeter, and why don't you start by telling us who your parents were and kind of where you grew up and things like that.
Well, I'm the son of Curry Teeter and Helen Reynolds Teeter. I was born March 18th, 1926 in Little Hickman in the White Oak Woods in my grandfather's upstairs room.
The White Oak Woods. Now, yes, I've heard of Little Hickman, but I don't think I've ever heard of that.
That's right down below Uncle Bill's and Pappy Teeter's store.
Now, there was a bunch of Teeters.
Yes, sir.
And there's always been a bunch of Teeters.
Teeters and wild onions.
Yeah. Can you name Curry's brothers?
Okay. There was Uncle Bill, Uncle Charlie, Uncle Buth, and Uncle Bob.
Okay, now Bob Teeter is Perry Lee's dad.
Yes, sir.
Buddy's dad. And Kirby, he was the son of which one?
Uncle Bill.
Bill.
William.
Now, who was Buford's kids?
That's Lucy. Bobby, he's the one that ran for governor in Ohio. Edna, Louise, that's all.
And now, was your sisters?
Yeah, they were sisters.
Yeah, so the Teeters, there was a lot of Teeters, and you all are still have a lot around here, but a lot of them grew up down that Little Hickman, Christmas Mill area, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
Now, eventually, you all, I think, did you all get up to Union Mill somewhere in that area, too?
Uncle Bob and Daddy moved to Union Mill.
Yeah.
And I went to Christmas Mill School for 2 years, then I moved back to Little Hickman.
But where did you graduate?
Wilmore.
Now, how did that happen?
Well, in December of 1943, the school burned. I was a junior, and we finished up in Christian Church and the school out by the depot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the county started in 1944, and they hauled the county children to Wilmore. And they were used to be 12 and 14 seniors in Wilmore, and we moved to the Jessamine County ones, Nicholasville. There was 41 of us in the senior class.
Yeah. Now, you said the school burned. For those that weren't around, that's Nicholasville High School, Nicholasville Elementary, all that building was over the Christmas break, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
And burned. And I know my mother, actually, she lived in the city. I think she actually had classes at Nicholasville Baptist Church for a little while.
Yep. Yes, sir.
But they kind of had to spread everybody out because the school was gone. And when it burned, it burnt to the ground. In fact, the one that we have now, Nicholasville Elementary, sits in the exact same spot.
Yes, sir.
And they've tried to make it look pretty much like it did when it burned back then.
Almost.
Yeah. So you graduated Wilmore in 1944 and struck out with your life, and I know you served in the military. Was that your next tour of duty after high school?
Yes, sir.
Where you were overseas, right?
Philippine Islands.
And in World War II, and I know back then there was kind of a famous general that you were under over there, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
What was his name?
MacArthur.
MacArthur. Did you get to meet him and know him?
I saw him, but I never met him.
Yeah. And while you were there, I understand that you did a little refereeing.
Yes, sir.
For some things. Tell us about that.
We had, we had an Army tournament, and I was one of the referees that officiated the Army.
Right.
in Rizal Coliseum in the Philippine Islands.
Yeah, and that was World War II.
World War II.
Were you in the service when the war ended?
Yes, sir. I saw the airplanes fly over. I was in the South Harbor, and the planes went over with the VJ, Victory in Japan.
What about that? Now, when were you married? Was it after that?
I married January the 30th, 1945, and 15 days later, I was inducted into the Army.
So you and Frances, Frankie, everybody knew her, she was a rising, you all got married not knowing that 2 weeks later your life was going to change, and her life was going to change enormously.
Nope.
So you went to the Philippines and luckily survived that and got out and got back home.
Yes, sir. The good Lord let me come home.
Now, you came home, and it wasn't long after that you welcomed a son into your house.
Howard Glenn.
Now, a lot of people my age will remember him. Glenn Teeter taught in Jessamyn County schools for several years, retired from there.
Yeah.
When I remember Glenn, he taught me in physical education and health back at Jessamyn County High, but I know he went on to be, was he a principal at a school?
Principal.
Yeah. So you get married, you have your child. Now let's talk about some of your work. Your work. Now, I think for several years, did you work in Lexington at one of the light places or something?
General Electric for 23 years.
And what'd you do over there?
Made seal beam headlights.
Really? For cars?
For cars, yes, sir.
Now, that's not all you've done in your life as far as work.
No, sir.
Is make headlights. I know you've done a lot. I want to read a list of some of the things you've been involved with civically outside of work. Jessamyn County Hospice.
Yes, sir.
The Heart Lodge Masonic. You've been a Mason for a long time.
66 years.
So you're probably the longest serving member that we have here in Jessamyn County. Would that be right?
Today it is, yes, sir.
66 years. You also were the past worthy patron of the Order of the Eastern Star.
Yes, sir.
And we just talked to Janet Gayhart a couple of weeks ago about the history of that group and learned in that session that in the Eastern Star, they're required to have a worthy patron. You were one of those. Was your wife in the Eastern Star?
She was a worthy matron.
Probably. Did y'all do that same time?
Same year, 1965.
Another thing that's interesting, of course, you've been a member of the East Hickman Baptist Church, but one of the things that a lot of people may not know is that you were one of the charter members of the baseball leagues.
Little League and Babe Ruth League.
When did that start?
Doug, I can't remember.
A long time ago, and I guess a group of fellows here in town decided we need to get this going.
Yes, sir. Cornelius Hager was one of the main men that started.
Yeah. And then there's another job that you did that a lot of people in Jessamyn County remember you at. They may not remember you making headlights, but they remember you driving a school bus. Now, how did that get started?
I guess I came back from the service and I needed a job.
Yeah.
So I went to Mr. Roland Roberts, and I told him I was back home, I got married, and I needed a job.
Now, he was superintendent at the time?
He was superintendent at that time.
Okay.
And he told me to go to Lester Howard Beverly and see if he needed a driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew Lester Howard, and he knew our family. And I think there was four Teeters driving the school bus at that time.
Well, I know Bob Teeter drove for a long time.
He was one of the first ones.
Yeah. How do you remember, this may be a hard question, remember how many school buses there were back then?
Three.
Three buses for the whole county?
Uncle Bob, Lester Howard Beverly, and Everett Morgan.
Wow. Three buses.
Started at 6:30 of the morning and drove till 8 o'clock.
Of course, I guess there was a lot of kids that probably walked that time and then didn't. But that's hard to believe in these days. I mean, nowadays, one road can have three.
Let
alone for the whole county. How was that as a job? I've often said I just don't know if I could do that.
Doug, I may not explain myself, but when I started, I had no problems with the children. But today, you cannot discipline the children.
Mm-hmm.
When I drove, I had two boys that I had a little trouble with. I took them home to their father. They got a whipping. Then they said, Howard Curry, you'll have no more trouble with these boys.
Yeah.
And one of them was my kinfolks, but I won't mention his name.
Right.
But they were good boys. And today, one of them is gone, but the other one's still here. A whole lot of them are gone. Well, there's a whole lot of my schoolmates are gone, too.
Different times.
Different times, yes, sir.
One of the most favorite school bus drivers that I had was Joe Briner.
Joe Briner. He drove with me many years.
Yeah, Joe. Of course, he was a postman, too.
Oh, yeah.
But I can remember some boys. I'm like you. I won't name them. But they were a little rambunctious, and I can remember many times Joe Briner pulling a school bus over in the parking lot at W.I. Stinnett's grocery store and telling them boys, okay, you just get off and walk home. And you could do that back then. I think they only did it one time. They figured out it was a long ways. But yeah, things have changed and things are a whole lot different. And sometimes you wonder if it's for the better or not. But things were just different back then. That's for true. So 22 years driving the school bus. Well, you know, one of your passions, though, and this is one of the things that I mainly want to talk to you about, is you probably, whether you want to admit it or not, are known as the foremost authority on cemeteries here in our community. As far as cemeteries, local ones, Maple Grove and some of the family cemeteries, you've written several books about those.
Got three books written already. Maple Grove, the county, and Wilmore.
Now, how did you get interested in that?
Well, back in, I guess, the late 60s, my son and cousin and I, everybody wanted a book of the Teeter family.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Clyde Teeter was an instigator. He tried to start it, and nobody would help him. So we got used to talking to him, and I got a spur somewhere, and I said, well, I'm going to start one. So we started. Glenn was in school in Birmingham, Alabama, and my cousin Pat Teeter lived in Lexington. So we three started the Teeter family.
Mm-hmm.
So Glenn was working on one thing, Patty was working on another, and they gave me the job of working on the cemeteries where the people were born and where they were raised and where they were buried. So I started out going to each road. I would take each road and go down and the family and I asked, is there a cemetery on your road, on your farm? They say, yes, sir. And I said, well, can I go? So, well, get in here and I'll take you back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's close to it, they'd show me where it was. Even one man took me on the motorbike and back to one. And then when I started doing that for the family, I said, you know, Mr. Teeter, why don't you copy these, and that will be good for history of Jessamine County.
Mm-hmm.
So I started taking a pen with me and a pencil, and when I'd find one, I'd ask them if I could copy them. They'd say, yes, sir. They would take me back. I'd leave my car, and they would either take me back there or show me where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I found 362 private cemeteries here in the county, and they're in three cemetery books here now, published.
362?
Well, there's more than that now. Since I was president of the Historical Society for 3 years, they helped me, and we would go to others when we'd find people that would know where one was.
Yeah.
I think there's about 370 private cemeteries here in the county now.
I would never have, if you'd asked me to guess, I may have said 15 or 20. I would have never figured that many private cemeteries. Now, how do you define that? At least one grave, at least five? How do you do that?
Well, Doug, I've got some that's just one grave.
Yeah.
And I called it a cemetery. I wrote down where it was.
Sure.
And their name, when they were born, and when they died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of them, in the later years, when I couldn't get up and get around like I did, I'd get the deaths out of the newspaper, not been to all those cemeteries.
Yeah.
But most of them I've been to every cemetery and every grave.
Now, the biggest one, of course, I guess, in our community as far as, and I'm excluding Bluegrass Memorial. I'm talking about regular upright stones, I guess you'd say. I guess would be Nicholas, the Maple Grove, correct?
Maple Grove is the biggest.
Wilmore, I guess, would be second. And then I guess what Locust Grove is fits in there. Locust Grove typically was for the African Americans.
Yes, sir. There's three African Americans, big graves here in the county. Keene Macedonia.
Yes.
These two over there, the old one and the new one.
Right.
And then Keene White is a large cemetery.
Okay. Now, one interesting thing I was going to talk about, maybe a little interesting thing about each one of them, but before I do, let me ask you this. When you find a maple grove, for instance, let's just take it for an example. What do you just decide, okay, I'm just going to go in here and I'm just going to start looking at these stones and writing down dates, and is that how you do it? Just kind of keep track of them all? Because that's a lot of work.
Well, Doug, I started back in, I guess, the late 69s. I was still working at General Electric, and we was started working on the Teeter family. So I went to get the Teeters that were buried in Maple Grove.
Mm-hmm.
So and I said, well, you're walking all over this cemetery finding the Teeters. So I would take off of every afternoon when I come in from work or of a morning. I worked day shift, night shift, so I'd do it of a morning.
Right.
And I'd go over, I'd take one section, and I'd mark that. I'd go row by row, marking down their names, when they were born and when they died.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning, I'd get up, and on Saturday and Sunday, I worked for 3 or 4 months copying Nicholas Field Cemetery.
Yeah.
Then I went into Wilmore, and that was later. And then I've got them in Bluegrass Memorial Garden. I've got all of those, and I've got them all written down in the Cape Nelson. Glenn and Jan helped me with that one, and we'd put Jeannie on a blanket, put her in the shade tree, and we'd go row by row, and then help me copy that one.
Now, Jeannie's your granddaughter.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah,
okay, well, who is grown now?
And a diplomat for the United States Army, and they're in Finland right now for 3 years.
Wow. That's great. Well, you know, when you go into a cemetery and you see these stones, having been in the funeral business for years, I've seen a number of them. Some of them aren't in real good shape. In fact, the one that our Facebook group replaced last year, Joe Pellman's.
Yep.
I mean, it had gotten to the point where you couldn't even read it. And I'm sure you had problems with that sometimes, trying to figure it out. Do you remember maybe in Maple Grove, for instance, what's maybe the oldest stone that's up there?
Doug, I can't tell you right off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But there's some that have got metal fences around them. Some of them have got little stone fences around them. Some of them will be broken. The Historical Society went in and fixed all up.
Mm-hmm.
We fixed those.
Mm-hmm.
But the hardest one I got was Locust Grove to copy it. They fixed it up now. Right. They've cleaned it up.
And Locust Grove is where the Joe Pellman stone was replaced. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, and you might know, but we are trying to figure out at this point in time where Fred Jackson is buried out there. Now, Fred, for those that haven't been from our county for a while, he died back in the 60s. Fred had a wagon and horses that he hauled around town. He hauled trash.
Yes, sir.
For a lot of people, an old fella would know Fred. Fred also, I was told by Terry Leach, on Thursdays when the Kroger store was down on Main Street where the clerk's office is now, he would clean his trash wagon out and he'd go over to the train depot and he'd haul groceries from there to the Kroger store for Ned Leach.
Yes, sir.
But we know Fred is there, and we have found his wife's stone, but we don't know where he is. And that's sad, because I don't know that we'll ever find out. There are places, and you can't assume anything in these old cemeteries, can you?
No, sir.
I mean, just because somebody's buried there and there's a spot beside them that's open doesn't necessarily mean that's their spouse.
No, sir.
Now, Maple Grove, I was going to talk about this while. There is a lot of people buried up there, and if you ever want to know the old Jessamine County names, go to Maple Grove, and you're going to see them.
Oh, yeah.
Everything from the Teeters to the Hagers. But there's one interesting stone up there, and you remember, you've seen this and know about it, a fellow named Cupid Walker.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us about him?
Well, Cupid was the one that when they had the, what kind of fever was it, typhoid fever?
Cholera.
Cholera.
Yeah.
He would take them and bury them, and then I guess Cupid, when he died, they didn't have any place to put him, so the undertakers figured up that they would bury Cupid up there, and they put just a little tall stone up.
Uh-huh.
It's got, I could take you right to it right now. He's buried right across from my grandparents, James and Elizabeth Teeter, right across from their grave.
Now, what makes it interesting, though, is not only the fact that he hauled the cholera bodies because nobody else would. They were scared.
It's crazy.
Was the fact that he was the first and maybe one of the only African-American people buried in that cemetery.
It's the only one I know of.
Yeah. And in that day, you just didn't do that. And that was, so that just kind of tells you how important and how much they thought of that man and what he did, the service he provided. In fact, he died with the cholera that I guess he caught from doing that. But other notables up there at Maple Grove that you can think of, I guess maybe as far as political, the one that we've had, John Watts.
Well, I guess that's the only one I know of.
Who was a congressman, U.S. congressman. Now, Wilmore's pretty big, too. I mean, there's some old stones down around Wilmore, too. Mm-hmm. A lot of family cemeteries around Wilmore.
Yes, sir. Even going down the High Bridge there.
Yeah.
They're hard to get to. I've cut briars, got snake bit, dog bit, run off from graveyards, called me everything but a milk cow. Won't know what I was doing there. And I guess that was the worst thing I did. Was a man come out with the shotgun and run me off.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. But I should have went by the house and asked him before I went. But so many people were good to me, would take me and show me these graves and cemeteries that I just got used to going to them.
Right.
And I guess I thought he knew that's what I was doing, but he didn't.
And you got out of there quick.
You better believe
it. Did you ever go back?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I told him what I was doing. Before I left, he let me copy it. I finally got to, I know him, but he didn't know it was me.
Okay.
When he come out with that shotgun.
You know, one of the things, and a lot of people don't think about this, when they drive up Main Street and there's a cemetery there, they may not even pay attention to it. But one thing we always have to remember that right there, those people in Maple Grove and all these people in these family cemeteries in Wilmore, they're the ones that built this town.
Yes, sir.
They built this county to what it is today. And we even go back to those that died in the early 1800s. I mean, if it had not been for the work that they did, we certainly wouldn't be where we are today. So, I admire you and applaud you for wanting to take note of all this for prosperity's sake. And people need to think, you know, when you walk through a cemetery, just take time to think about what these people did. But everybody up there had some kind of a contribution to our county.
Yes, sir.
And they should be remembered. Anything you want to add to this?
Well, Doug, since I've copied these cemeteries and put them in box form, people may know them as Ed Exene Cox.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're with the Historical Society, and she has told me so many times, Howard Curry, I get calls from many people that thankful for you for doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Doug, I still get copies or phone calls now from all over the United States wanting to know where their grandparents are buried here in the county.
Yeah. You know, it's fun to find out that kind of stuff. There's a fellow in Wilmore that you knew that did a lot of ancestry work on my mom's side of the family, Jimmy Thomas, who's gone now.
Oh, Jeb. Oh.
But he worked on the Roars.
Yep.
And it's a pleasure for me to know that I can go to the old Roar Cemetery and I can see the grave of Jacob Roar, who first came to this county way back in the late 1700s. And brought that side of my family here. And even though it's, you know, to most people it's just a grave and a stone, it's my family, it's me. That's interesting for people to be able to call you and say, can you give me this information? Because it's important to them to know where they came from. So you still got work to do.
Oh, I'm still doing it all the time.
Well, back in March, you turned 89.
Yes, sir.
And you still got a lot of work to do.
I'm still working on it.
And I'm glad you do.
I've got three other books that I published, too.
Yeah, tell us about those.
So in, I guess, 1976 or 77, the Historic Society, I was the head of it, Mary Ruth Johns, Robin Fain. So we published the History of Jessamine County.
Yeah.
And then I the Reynolds family. I've got one on the Reynolds family.
Reynolds got a pretty good cemetery, too.
Oh, yeah. Big one, yes.
Yeah.
Down at Pollard.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's four Reynolds cemeteries in Pollard.
They just about as many Reynolds was Teeters.
No, there wasn't in, no. There was Teeters, Hagers, Peels, and Walkers.
Yeah.
Haven't got too many Roars.
No. Roars are about gone. There wasn't too many Fanes either, to be honest with you.
No.
There wasn't too many Fanes.
There's three Fane cemeteries in Pollard.
And, you know, I guess they're all distant kin of ours, somewhere way down the line. It's very interesting to learn about all this, and I just appreciate the fact that somebody like you did it. I think that helps.
Like Alex Zane says, Howard Curry, you've mentioned more than anybody in this town that calls me wants to know where somebody's buried.
Well, and speaking of that, you know, if somebody maybe needs to know that information, maybe contact me and I'll tell them how to get a hold of you so that they can find out too. Because there's probably a lot of people that do wonder, you know, they know their grandparents are buried somewhere in the county, but they don't have a way to figure out where it's at. So that's good to know. Well, buddy, I appreciate you being with us. Very interesting program that we'll have here about this. And it's good to know that that you're still working on it, and we look forward to seeing a whole lot more out of you.
Well, anything I can help, you know,
I know where you are.
I'm going to get around like I used to.
Well, that's all right. You can use a telephone.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for being with me.
Okay, I appreciate it, Doug.
Well, I want to say thanks once again to Howard Curry Teeter, one of the foremost authority on Jessamine County cemeteries and one of the great people from our county. All things Jessamine, we do it every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. We do it right here on Jess FM 105.9. We'll see you next week.
Neighbor, I buy my cars and trucks at Sutherland Chevrolet right here in Nicholasville because I know who they are. They've been in business here since 1925, and they're always honest and ethical. This is a hometown dealership. No high-pressure sales tactics, no lot lizards, no sleazy come-ons. Just local people treating you the way they'd like to be treated when buying a car or truck. Sutherland Chevrolet. At 1060 North Main Street in Nicholasville, a different kind of automobile dealership.